The GP Plus Podcast.
Are you a GP hoping to diversify your career? Perhaps you've got a passion for women's health, or have ambitions to be an expedition GP, or maybe you've just always wondered, what would it be like to be a GP working in a prison? Well, this will hopefully be the podcast for you. My name's Sophie Lumley. I'm a First 5 GP in the West Midlands and also a training programme director. I certainly fell into the above category, and I was keen to start this podcast to find out about the breadth of career options available to me, my colleagues and my trainees. I've been lucky enough to interview fellow GPs who've had some of these extra roles. They've told me what their role involves, how they got there, and the tips and advice that they have for those hoping to follow in their footsteps. I really hope you enjoy listening and feel as inspired as I have in speaking to them. So I'm really pleased to be joined today by Nadia Tharib, and thank you very much, Nadia, for joining us, who's going to talk about her interest in expedition medicine. So I'd like to start off by asking you to describe what this role involves and to tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, expedition medicine is essentially anything in the pre-hospital environment that is in more of an austere environment, so not your usual shiny hospital or GP practice. It can range from just following a group of teenagers doing a D of E thing in the UK or going to Everest Base Camp and being the doctor there. So there's a huge range of what constitutes expedition medicine. What I tended to keep my expeditions to were shorter expeditions, and my special interest, I suppose, is in medicine for ultramarathons. So I basically was the doctor, lead doctor for ultramarathon races in really austere or remote places that don't really have medical provisions.
And so you mentioned your sort of interest there. Could you just tell us a little bit more about that specific thing that you've been doing with ultramarathons, what that involves and what a typical expedition medic would be doing as part of that?
Essentially, I got into it because I was interested in expedition medicine and remote medical work, and it was the easiest way to get into it because there are a lot of ultramarathons around. It's a huge business now, and for their insurance purposes they all need doctors, so I got to know a company and started working with them, and essentially because I was already a GP and had some experience via my mountain medicine diploma behind me, I quickly became the lead doctor for a lot of their expeditions. And yeah, you essentially want to do pre-health screening for any of the athletes, because obviously, for instance, running a multi-stage, multi-day, six-day marathon in the jungle in Peru, they have to be fit. So yeah, we did a lot of pre-expedition screening, a lot of work with the race director, looking at where the medical facilities are, and then obviously the main thing is kit, transporting all the kit, checking your kit, making sure you can legally get kit into and out of the countries. And then, yeah, when you're in the field, basically just making sure the race is safe. Sometimes, depending on how many runners there are, you do little clinics in the evening. And then in the day, obviously, you position you and your team around the race where you think there's going to be problems. And then, yeah, after the race, your responsibility remains until basically the race is finished and everyone is safely off, back on their plane, back home. So yeah, it's quite a lot of work, but yeah, it's a great thing to do, very exciting.
You mentioned a mountain medicine diploma there. Could you tell us a little bit more about your career journey to getting into some of these things? Where did it all start and how's it gone along?
So yeah, so I've always been interested in the mountains, so been a skier from a very young age, and then basically used to find summers really boring, so then started climbing and mountain biking, and then wanted to try and combine my career with that. So when I was an F2, I did a expedition medicine course in Herefordshire, which was amazing. It was quite a small course, it's not that well known, but it was really, really good, and that got me interested in that and how you have to improvise and think on your feet a bit more. There's not, you know, a huge array of kit and how you have to improvise kit, and I found that really interesting. But from that I realized that for me to be able to work in that field independently, I wanted to be fully qualified in what I was doing. Where I thought my career would go would be that I would be the only doctor on expedition. So for that reason, I wanted to finish my training and get all of that done and get some more qualifications behind me. So then from that, I then did the mountain medicine diploma during my GP training, which is a 1 to 2 year diploma that combines kind of practical skills and theoretical skills about how to be a doctor in the mountains. And then from that, I then got my GP my expedition medicine job. Well, I say job, I didn't get paid for it. And then subsequent to that, I've also done a tropical medicine diploma to try and balance all my skills, basically, so I can effectively operate confidently in most environments now.
So it sounds like you've done an awful lot of different bits and pieces. How does that interact with your normal GP job? How do you make the two fit together?
So initially, when I finished my training in 2016, I decided I wanted a break from GP because I couldn't find a salary job or a job that would really allow me to combine that. It was very much you had your 6 weeks annual leave and that was it. So I got a job in A&E, which was linked with an expedition company who basically allowed me time off to do the ultramarathon trips. So I think that year I did seven trips abroad. I was basically not in the UK very much, and when I was working in A&E, and that was great because actually I think to do this role you have to have the GP skills, so you're confident working completely independently, but then also some A&E skills as well. So I felt that that was the best of both worlds really. And then after a year of doing that, I came back into GP. And I did a split role at A&E and GP split role just to keep my skills up, and then carried on doing some expedition work. After that, it just had to be my annual leave. So that's why races are great, because they're never really more than 2 weeks.
And you've obviously sort of built all your skills up iteratively. If someone was sort of starting out and wanted to get involved in this, are there any specific skills and requirements that you have to do any expedition medicine?
Not really. I think you have to be confident that things can go wrong, and drastically wrong, in expedition medicine, especially in the mountains. People can be fit and healthy and suddenly deteriorate and you're the only doctor there. And I think you have to be confident that you can recognise a sick patient and manage that patient potentially on your own and make a call when things aren't going right, what you're going to do. And I think that comes with experience. So I think if you're starting off at a much more junior stage of your career, try and go with a group. Don't try and be the only doctor on an expedition. I'm a huge believer that there's been a massive explosion in loads of diplomas for expedition medicine, and I don't actually think you need lots of diplomas to do this. I think I did the mountain medicine diploma many years ago and I loved it because I that's my specific interest. But if you just want to do general expedition medicine, you can do a diploma, but you don't really need it. So I think you just need some A&E skills behind you, some GP skills, and maybe, you know, someone to mentor you, someone to help, or to join like a group. So there are other companies around, I'm sure, that do ultramarathon medicine for races, and you'd expect that would be a group, so maybe paramedics, other doctors, and a senior level doctor with you. And that's a great way to learn, rather than spending all of your money on diplomas that might not progress anything. There's no guarantee of exhibition work after doing a diploma.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's a lot to do with building the experiences and skills as well as the qualifications. And you did mention some qualifications that you've done and doing, and whether you've been paid previously. Do you know of any sort of funding or bursaries, or did you have access to anything like that to support development of these skills?
No, so when I did my A&E job, obviously I was paid a regular job and then had the extra leave to go, so that made it much easier financially to be able to go. But I've never been paid to be an expedition doctor. Part of the reason is your indemnity completely changes if you're paid, because then it looks like you're an employee, so you have to basically do it as cost, well, essentially as a voluntary thing. Otherwise the indemnity companies look at it very differently, like a job. In terms of bursaries, no, I'm not aware of any bursaries. It's actually quite an expensive interest to have, because you don't get paid. You have to obviously pay for all your kit and stuff that you need to look after yourself. Often, for instance, when I went on my trips, all your food, you'd have to take like loads of ration packs and things like that out with you, because there's not a Burger King down the road. So you have to operate quite independently. So it isn't cost neutral by any means. You actually end up paying to do this, but the experience is worth it. I think you have to weigh that up, whether you have that, you know, financial security. So yeah, it's not easy, which is why shorter trips are easier, because you can just do them in your annual leave and have a normal job.
And you mentioned sort of it's certainly worth it for you, and it sounds really interesting. What do you think are the main benefits of this sort of role? What do most people get out of it?
When I was doing it pretty much full time, I have met the most interesting people. And I think you network with, you know, lots of different doctors and healthcare professionals. It's not just doctors who do it, it's paramedics, nurses, physios. And yeah, the network that you have around you is amazing, because by default, these are all very adventurous people who want to do lots of exciting things. So it basically completely changed my view on, you know, working as a doctor and what that opens up. Unfortunately, since I've started doing it, it has got much harder for junior doctors pre-CCT to get indemnity, because the indemnity, because of, well, I don't actually know the straw that broke the camel's back, but there's been a few issues, and essentially it can get very expensive with indemnity. So that's the sticking point for most people, but it's not insurmountable. You just have to negotiate a little bit with the indemnity people and make sure if you're going as a junior doctor, you have someone senior with you as well, and that brings the indemnity costs down.
You mentioned the sort of the cost side of stuff being a bit of a downside. Are there any other downsides that it's worth people being aware of when they start out with this?
Not really. I think it's quite hard to break into, because you there's a lot of people wanting to do it, especially now. It's kind of building a network, doing a few courses, meeting people off the back of things that I've done. I've had, you know, trips, like offers to go to Kilimanjaro. That's quite a common one that people can do. But there's lots of different options out there. You kind of just have to put yourself out there, but almost market yourself, I guess, and just be nice and be friendly, because what the race directors and the team want to know is that you can cope with sleep deprivation, hunger, stress, and still be happy, smiley and positive. You don't want a grumpy doctor. So yeah, just being nice, being friendly to everyone, remembering that it's not like the NHS. The team that's with you aren't, you know, like typical NHS patients. You have to get on with your team as well, which is also your patients. So yeah, it's very different to working in the NHS, but yeah, you just have to put yourself out there and get your CV out there.
Sort of starting to build things iteratively and get experience and network. Is there any other sort of advice you'd give people when they're starting out thinking about this sort of activity?
I think I would just be aware, as I said, it's not cost neutral. You end up paying. Indemnity can be quite expensive. The way I went into it was I wanted to do my diploma, because when I was in the mountains and ice climbing or climbing, if something happened to me or my partner, I would want to know what to do. I went into it like that. I never went into doing all these things because I thought I'd be an expedition doctor. I wanted to be, but I thought if I don't, then I've got all of these skills that are really helpful for my own personal safety. And I think it really does help me if you want to do these kind of things, to be able to operate safely and look after your own kit. And, you know, if you're going to do a trip up Kilimanjaro, you need to make sure you're not going to get sick on that trip as well, and you're fit and you're healthy. So yeah, mainly just go into it with your eyes open and realize that it's not, you don't earn money from it, you can't really earn money from it. Indemnity is always going to be an issue, but if you can get past all of that, you do meet some really exciting and interesting people, and I've made some amazing friends doing it. And it just makes your day-to-day GP job much more exciting, and patients love hearing about it as well, so it makes everything very exciting.
You've obviously got loads of networks and met lots of people. Are there any particular areas you'd signpost people to go to start looking at diplomas or networks or expeditions, sort of getting the ball rolling?
I haven't been to it myself, but one of the main kind of things in the UK is the World Extreme Medicine Conference that happens every year. So that's quite a well-known conference, and that would be where to start networking. There's also other websites. I think Adventure Medic is another website that has lots of advice for people wanting to have a more adventurous GP career or any doctor career. And they also have a page on their website for jobs and voluntary jobs. There's things like Rally International, which would be a nice way to start, because that's quite a nice supportive environment, and like a well-established way to get into things. But yeah, just go to a few courses. I don't think you have to spend thousands on diplomas, but if you just Google, there's lots of different diplomas out there. But I think my advice is maybe do some courses first and try and get into it that way, so you don't end up spending lots of money on diplomas, and then maybe try and get on a trip as a member. And actually see if you like it, because some people I've taken away on trips and have realised it's not for them, and they're really surprised, and they don't like not having sleep and being bothered 24/7 by patients or other people on the trip, and they don't like the the stress of it all, so they've never come back. So yeah, I would probably try and do that before you invest loads of money into it, because as I said, you don't get paid, so it is just an interest that you have on the side. So
continuing that sort of theme of positivity, could we end by asking you what either to share your best moment that you've had as an expedition medic alongside GP, or your highlight of having that role?
My highlight, surprisingly, was a trip to Uganda, which I was doing a single stage marathon in Uganda. It was quite a last minute trip. I wasn't actually expecting to go. Part of that was that we were very integrated with the local population. So it was very much the Ugandan team was sorting out the race. It wasn't just British people coming over and sorting it out. And as part of that, we went to a women's little cooperative, and we were teaching them what to do if you have a collapsed runner in the field. And obviously they'd never learned first aid, never learned anything. It was just hundreds of women dressed in all pink, practicing on each other. And it was really lovely, because actually I was very much like, I had to pinch myself. I'm like, I'm teaching hundreds of people how to deal with a collapsed runner who don't speak very good English. It was all very much sign language, and it was great. And actually they took a skill away from that, and I learned a huge amount from that. And from the back of that trip was why I did my tropical medicine diploma, to move more into, hopefully in the future, maybe more humanitarian stuff. And I think that's where, yeah, you don't know where life's going to go. I never thought I'd do a tropical medicine diploma. I never thought I'd be interested in humanitarian medicine. But this job has shown me real poverty and real positivity in really dire situations. And you don't get that sitting at a desk in a GP surgery. So that's probably one of my highlights and strangest ones. And I also got attacked by a monkey in Morocco when I was on a trip there. And yes, I didn't realise you shouldn't have your hair in a bun when you're around loads of monkeys. So yes, I thought I might get rabies, but I didn't. That was probably a highlight / lowlight.
Just before we end though, why shouldn't you have your hair in a bun around monkeys? Now I feel like this is a life skill I never had.
So we were going to, this was pre-race, we were getting to know all the runners, and we went to this waterfall in Morocco, and they're like, be careful of the monkeys. And I was like, oh yeah, monkeys are so cute, I love monkeys. And they're like, no, really, be careful. I was like, okay, yeah, I love monkeys. Anyway, so I had my hair in like a really high bun. They're like, they really like hair. And I was like, okay, I've seen a monkey before, being like, really, like, what are these people talking about? Anyway, stepped out the car, was like there for like 2 seconds, monkey grabbed my hair, wouldn't get off my shoulders, all the runners laughing, taking pictures of the lead doctor being attacked by a monkey, nobody helped me, it was awful. I thought I was going to be screaming, I'm going to get babies. It was awful. I can send you a picture.
Yeah, okay, that would be great. So that sounds like a lovely moment to end on, and a bit of life advice to boot. So thank you very much for joining me today. And we can provide some of the links to the places and diplomas and networks that you've mentioned afterwards for anyone who's interested. So thank you very much.
No problem.
We hope that this careers podcast has motivated and inspired you to explore the variety of career options available as a GP. Speak to your appraiser, your local training programme directors, or perhaps join our RCGP mentoring programme for further support to diversify your career. Thanks for listening, and good luck.